everybody out there. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you happen to be listening, I love you all the same. Welcome back to the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. CBSSports.com, I am your host, Matt Norlander, kind of talking like a robot to start this podcast, but I'm feeling good. It was a great weekend. Jeff Borzello, my colleague, is coming back on. I have him on many times throughout the season. He's a great hang for a bro, and we've got a lot to talk about, hoops and non-hoops. So recording this late Sunday night, and I'm feeling good. Got some brownies in my stomach. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I don't have any brownies. Actually, I just had some munchkins.
You did
first time in like 8 years I had munchkins, but
munchkins.
So I think I have the same feeling as you that you got from brownies.
Well, you know what? Actually, not to get totally off topic to start this, but the fiance made the brownies, and
there's no top. You're not getting off topic.
Well, you know the hoops topic, but the fiance made the brownies, and she substituted. Get this, I've never heard this, but you know, wedding coming up, trying to keep slim a few months from now. So she substituted oil for applesauce. It sounds so weird, right? But
she put applesauce instead of oil?
Yeah. And right. it works. I was surprised. It works. There's definitely a difference, but brownies are my favorite dessert food of anything. Like, if you're going to one dessert food, what's winning out over every time? You know, at the execution chamber, final meal, aside from the main course, what are you finishing things off with?
I'm more of like a salty snack guy. I mean, if I had to pick a sweet snack, it would probably be like ice cream, like a sundae.
Yeah.
But I'm way more of like a salty snack. Like I'll finish my dinner and then I'll just like chill and then I'll have like pretzels or like Chex Mix a couple hours later.
Wow. Well, you're going to the NCAA mock selection thing, and we'll have you back on the podcast probably the Monday after you get back from that.
It's Valentine's Day and then the Friday after that.
Yeah, exactly. So when you get back, I just want you to know, though, there's an incredible dessert bar there, but it's all Sunday stuff. So you're going to...
I'm going to kill it.
Exactly.
When do you get that? Do you like that Thursday night or...
I can't quite remember when it was. I think they do it like for two meals. So you'll be all good.
I'm pretty pumped up about it, man.
You should be, but we'll save that for the next podcast. You know, Borzello, if you aren't following him, do on Twitter. He's a little obnoxious, but worth it ultimately. At Jeff Borzello, that's JeffBorzello, and plenty of you do follow him, and we actually asked you to tweet at us a few different topics. We'll get to that a little later in the podcast. We love your thoughts and inputs, but you know, Borzello's been on the CBSSports.com team for almost 2 years now, and I don't think you've gotten as much widespread love and respect for anything you've written. I mean, the guy, you know, he tracks all the recruits, has written a couple of really nice features, done, you know, scooped a few stories here and there, and has contributed so well in such a well-rounded way to our coverage. But it was the Marshall Henderson gif from Saturday night in which you really, I mean, you went down the rabbit hole analyzing this thing, and that's now what you're known for, man, which isn't so bad. You did a great job on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what came over me. I mean, like, I was on, you know, night court duty, so I, you know, I had to stay in, didn't go out. And, you know, I just started tweeting about this GIF, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I've gone through, like, 12 characters already. And, you know, I just wanted to put it all somewhere. And I didn't think it was going to, you know, get retweeted and stuff like it did. And it's like I'm still getting mentions from, like, when Parrish retweeted it last night, I'm still getting mentions from that.
That's...
Like, oh, this is hilarious, blah, blah, blah. And it's still getting comments. I'm like, it was like a little, like, 5-second GIF. And I just, you know, I had some ridiculous analysis of it. And now it's taking on a life of its own.
I'm bringing up Night Court right now. We're recording this just after 10 o'clock on Sunday. Okay, so this is Night Court, almost 24 hours removed. And on our site, you can actually see how many people are listening, so how many people are viewing the page. 444 people are looking at this GIF on this page right now. Normally, for any night court, if you go to it 24
hours,
there'd be like 11 because it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, a day removed, it's kind of old news, and we move on. But this thing has a lifespan that will outlive us all, I think. Some people have actually wanted us to break down the GIF on the pod. We're not going to do that because what you did, we can't possibly top.
Yeah, I don't know. I have nothing left to say.
But if you're the type that that's away for the weekend, you catch up on the podcast on Monday and you didn't see it, just go to Night Court on the Ion College Basketball blog, and its title is Night Court on a Wild Day of Hoops. One GIF steals the show, and we lead off with, I mean, I just, you can't even get it. The One Direction kid, Jerry Garcia on the front row, it's incredible. I mean, really, but before.
I've probably watched it like 100 and some odd times, and like, I just watch it right now, and like I noticed something new. Like I just, it's just, there's so many things. Like even people I didn't mention in my little analysis, I'm finding new people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got so many layers. And, you know, I tweeted out late into the night, early Sunday morning, someone actually had the video, whether it was on their DVR or whatever. And so we have
the slow-mo one,
the
right?
Slow-mo one with extended coverage. Okay. After our normal GIF ends, we get a few extra seconds, and it's all new layers opening up. But that leads me to – we'll go right into Henderson here, Marshall Henderson from Ole Miss, and we'll hit on him first overall because I find the kid so fascinating. He is turning into a college basketball star. Before we get into him with Ole Miss, you want to set up – I mean, you've known about Marshall Henderson for plenty of time, and so have I, but people that are kind of casual hoops fans are just discovering this guy in the past month or so. You want to lay out his background and where he's been prior to Ole Miss?
Well, I mean, I guess it was – he was at Utah about – maybe back in 09, he went to Utah. So that's like 4 years ago. And he was pretty good then. I mean, he still took a ton of shots. He averaged double figures. And then he went to, I think, junior college the past 2 years. And then – I mean, people – he was kind of hyped up. He had a little reputation both on and off the court. And he went to Mississippi. And, you know, people expect him to play well. And all of a sudden, he's like a cult figure. People love watching him play. People hate watching him play. He's pretty much the most polarizing player in college basketball right now. And for a guy that, you know, was in junior college and kind of just went to Ole Miss, it's kind of a fascinating story.
Yeah, he's got a checkered past, which adds to it. Certainly trouble. I mean, even going back to his high school days, you can even find stories that have been passed around about him, you know, leaving teams and whatnot. And but you're a Marshall Henderson guy, right? I mean, you enjoy watching him play and think the college hoops is better for his antics, for as crazy as they are.
I think it's awesome. I mean, you know, a lot of people, I guess, say, you know, he's got to tone it down, the taunting. I think it's cool. I mean, he's having fun. You get a big win on the road. I know it's Auburn, but, you know, it was a last-second win. And, you know, it's emotional. And I don't know. He's entertaining. And, you know, people say, oh, college basketball doesn't have a star this year. Well, you know, they have Marshall Henderson. And to me, that's more than enough.
Exactly. And the fact that he plays for Ole Miss, I mean, when was the last time Ole Miss was relevant? The fact that he's doing this, he's just flapping his jersey against Auburn. It doesn't matter the opponent. I mean, he would taunt toddlers. He really would. He's such an interesting character. But I did, you know, I put up a post about 2 weeks ago on the blog after the Vandy game. So it's been almost 2 weeks. And Shane Ryan from Grantland actually had put together this video. It was kind of just chopped up. Here's how Marshall Henderson acted in one game. And I thought it was such an enrapturing video, I wanted to write a post on it. And I am interested to see, okay, because now Ole Miss is good. It's tracking toward getting Andy Kennedy's first NCAA tournament appearance. It's so big. How this team and he handles it, more attention from fans, media, everything. I mean, there is certainly a he might combust aspect to Marshall Henderson. And so I wonder, and I hope the story stays good, but I wonder.
There's also definitely a segment of both media and fans that want to see him and Ole Miss kind of blow up.
Right.
You know, like self-combust or whatever you say.
Self-destruct, whatever.
And definitely a segment of people that want them to kind of, you know, fail the rest of the season just because of him. And, you know, I guess they don't like his style.
Yeah, it's exactly. And you've hit on it. I haven't heard a lot of people say that, but it's absolutely true. I mean, he is an easy guy to root against just because you can just tell the way he acts. A lot of people aren't cool with that, including the old man Vern Lundquist sort of lookalike in that GIF who stands up and says, "Don't be stepping, son." So I'm intrigued. You had mentioned, you know, it's just too bad that Ole Miss doesn't go to Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine the Rupp Arena, you know, I mean, Auburn, look at the way they reacted to him. And now imagine Kentucky, which is, you know, 100 times as intense about their basketball program. I mean, he's gonna have to go to Florida next week at the Rowdy Reptiles. I think that's gonna be, you know, fun to see. But Kentucky would just be way better than that. And imagine, you know, Kentucky in a down year. Imagine if Ole Miss went in there and won with him playing well. I think he would go nuts.
He would, but it's not going to happen. Regardless, I mean, he'll get a couple more road tests, and they do get Kentucky at home, so that'll be pretty big. And I guess Morgan Freeman's going to the game Tuesday night. One of the players, I think I saw, tweeted that. So that's happening. Regardless, we'll be on Henderson watch from here on out. And, you know, we don't know where we're going yet for the NCAA tournament in terms of city assignments, but all of us are hoping that we get lucky enough, because we'll pick our city before we know how it lands. So we'll all hope that we get wherever Henderson is, because that'll be an interesting story. At this point, Ole Miss would need an absolute collapse to not make the tournament. Rest of the weekend, just a strange and fun weekend. We've had like four Saturdays this season that have had either a lot of upsets, really good action, really strange action. I mean, this one, we had a rogue bat in the Bradley Center that now, of course, has its own Twitter account. And there's a great shot in that same Night Court post of Ed Cooley draping a towel around his face and looking up to the ceiling in amazement and fright at this bat on the loose. They had to turn the lights out, and that was a game that didn't even really mean much. I mean, it's Providence-Marquette. Providence is rebuilding, and Marquette's Marquette, but yet that was one of the standout things. But aside from that, we did have a few meaningful results and random ones like Northern Illinois. What stood out to you over the weekend, man?
Well, I guess it was about maybe a week ago where I was talking to you. I was going to say I was going to write a little post on how we're getting an Elite Five teams, and it was going to be Michigan, Kansas, Louisville, Indiana, and Duke. And that was like maybe 10 days ago. And now, you know, that's completely off. There's no more close to those five elite teams. I mean, we saw Syracuse lose. We saw Louisville lose. I mean, and these were games they should have won. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I mean, like there was not that many marquee games on the schedule. I mean, I was excited to, you know, sit in front of the TV for 12 hours, but I didn't have that many games circled. But by the end of the night, I mean, I had like 35 things that were worth talking about. I don't know. It's just there's not one thing that jumped out at me, but it was just overall there's always so many good things to talk about, even though I don't go into it expecting that much.
I wrote that Louisville's chances at a one seed have all but expired. I didn't say they had expired because I can still, like, if Louisville, I try and shy away from going absolutes because, one, I think Louisville actually has the ability to run the table in the Big East with the tournament included, and if they did that, I think they'd get a one seed. But they've lost three in a row.
They're at fourth in the Big East, tied for fourth in the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten really weird and random with the Cardinals because, you know, once is an incident, two might be a coincidence, but three is certainly some sort of trend here, and dropping three in a row is a little problematic.
I think the biggest thing about that is that Peyton Siva is not playing remotely well. You know, he was kind of living up to all the expectations as a senior. He's having his best year, and, you know, people saying he's going to go out with, you know, a great year, and he's just disappeared. I mean, he had 15 and 13 against Villanova, but he had 0 points against Georgetown. He had 3 points against Syracuse. And, you know, he's kind of their key. I know Russ Smith is good and, you know, Zhang is good, but without Peyton Siva, they're just not a very good team if he's not playing well.
Yeah, and Siva is just a player I've never truly trusted. Like, I enjoy watching him play. I don't know. It shouldn't be like this, but we have these teams sometimes. This is college basketball. Sometimes you'll have a point guard who's good but not ultimately reliable. And to me, you know, Goodman saw Indiana play, right, on Sunday, and he wrote this thing. I mean, Indiana is an awesome team, and Zeller hasn't been amazing, but he basically was downplaying Indiana as much as you possibly can by saying that the team can't win at all if Zeller is not great. I mean, he can be good, but they shouldn't expect to win at all.
Zeller did have, had three huge plays at the end of the game, though.
He did.
He was MIA for, I guess, pretty much the past four halves.
Right. No, totally. I get that. But what I'm saying is, if you wanted to say that, that's fine, and I don't have an issue with it. But you could say the same thing for Louisville and Siva, right?
You could say the same thing for pretty much every team and their star player, and especially Siva.
Yeah.
You know, Louisville's, I mean, look at them last year. It's pretty much the same team. They have, you know, a few newcomers that are better and guys are improving. But, you know, their offense was non-existent for, I guess, probably 80% of the season, and they're kind of falling back into that trap. You know, they're having a ton of trouble scoring. They're not getting any angles. And when Seavey gets into the lane, he throws it to Bohannon, who, you know, kicks it out of bounds three times in a row. And, you know, people thought their offensive troubles were kind of gone just because they were blowing teams out beginning of the year. But, you know, when you look at their players, they don't have a lot of guys that are creating their own shots, you know, either inside or on the perimeter.
Okay, so from Louisville to Syracuse, what are your thoughts on the Orange? They lose at Nova, who's randomly got these really two awesome wins. I don't know what to make of Villanova. Like, let's just wait.
I still don't think they're very good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they beat two top five teams. I mean, when you watch them, it's just like, Villanova, it's whatever.
Doesn't make sense.
They're not that good. I mean, they lost to Columbia by, like, 20 this year.
I've seen this team in person a couple times this year. They don't impress me whatsoever. And they could end up, like, they could totally be a first four team. But let's just wait two more weeks. Yeah. Let's just see what they do. Syracuse, in general, there's something about this team that I really like. I think it's more than just Michael Carter Williams, who I think is my favorite player, not named Nate Walters, in college basketball. But do you buy Syracuse as a real Final Four hopeful, or do you think, you know, no Sutherland, we don't know when he's going to be back, and the bigs in general aren't there? Is it a little bit of smoke and mirrors with SU right now?
I'm kind of the opposite of you. I mean, I know they're really good, and you know, they've only have two losses, both to, you know, teams in Philadelphia randomly. But there's something about them that I don't like. Mm-hmm. They have a ton of talent. You know, Sutherland, we don't know when he's coming back. But to me, they just don't have that, I guess, toughness that we've seen from them in years past. I mean, Carter Williams is really good. Trish is really good. But is Trish that leader that we've seen Scoop Jardine be in the past? I don't think so. He's always been kind of a quiet guy. Carter Williams has tried to be a leader, but again, he's a sophomore who played like 8 minutes a game last year.
Mm.
So it's just kind of these more intangible things to me than, you know, just looking at them, you know, their numbers and their roster. I think it's more, I don't like their leadership, and I don't like the way, you know, looking back when they played Temple outworked them for everything. And that goes down to the big guys. I mean, Rakeem Christmas, he's been, you know, there, but as you mentioned, he's just not that great. DeJuan Coleman's been a disappointment. You know, Baikeet is good, but he's not a guy you're going to throw the ball to or anything like that. So to me, it's just the effort maybe down the stretch of games and leadership isn't there.
Elsewhere from the weekend, and before we look ahead, I do want to look a little bit back. NC State has a couple of good wins. I can't fall in love with this team. I don't know. I mean, good job.
I want to fall in love with them.
I know. They just won't let me. But that's just more like because I've been kind of down on Carolina all year as it is. So
I mean, the talent disparity was just – it was eye-opening.
Yeah. And it's weird, right? I mean, how weird was that to look at?
Jackson Simmons and
Tokido
for long minutes. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, Leslie and Howell could just – you know, they could toss him the ball and Jackson Simmons can't do anything.
Borzella, you know what it was? It was like when you hear people say, you know, if you threw these guys and put Kentucky's uniforms on them, you know, that kind of thing. Well, in this case, it was like those kind of guys were wearing Carolina's uniforms, only they are Carolina's players. It was so weird to look at.
Yeah, I think it was maybe Goodman that tweeted it. It was like, is this UNC's B team?
Did he really? I missed
yeah,
that.
I think he said that. But, you know, that's kind of what it was. It was like NC State's got, stars and scores at every position. UNC's thrown out, you know, these average freshmen and, you know, Jackson Simmons, and it just wasn't close. I mean, what they did to UNC is what a good UNC team usually does.
Yeah, they were, I don't know. I think Carolina's going to make the tournament, just going to be underwhelming. And I tell you what, I'm going to say it right here. I haven't seen anyone else say or tweet this, but I don't think that the stars will align, but I am rooting for a first four UNC Kentucky. Because
that would be awesome.
There would be no other game that would be one of the five highest rated games of the tournament, in my opinion. There's just no way that you know, five other ones could top that. And if you want to sell a nation on the prospect of the first four, which was good last year.
I was there.
And you were there.
Although Kentucky UNC, Goodman will try to go to that. And then he'll try to go to Thursday game and a Friday game.
And drive everywhere in between like he did today and like he's done all the time.
He's so dumb.
I know. You can't help him. You can't help the guy from himself. He's like telling me, he's like, listen, I'm gonna drive from Bloomington to Champaign, and then he's like, I'll dictate.
He went to a Shaw University game yesterday, in between the NC State and Duke game.
He wants to dictate his column to me like he's Red Smith over the phone in 1947, calling in his column to the local newspaper desk. I mean, it's ridiculous. But we love him, hard worker, and he takes all the games. So you know what? He's more than earned it and does a kick-ass job at that. And props, Goodman, to your Brad Bigler story. If you didn't see that. If you didn't see that on the site last week, do look for it. Blindsided, it's on the blog and plenty linked. And we'll get more into that on Wednesday's podcast when he joins. All right, we had a few.
Before we go forward, okay. Rank your top five teams in the Mountain West.
Oh, boy. I can't. You know what? I'm in the middle of my power pyramid. I shouldn't say I did it because I'm not fully done.
Because I asked Twitter that yesterday, and I got maybe 11 responses. Not one person had the same order as anybody else.
You got yours ready to tell me once I'm done?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So here's mine, and this is according to how they fall in Monday's Power Pyramid, which will go live probably at about 10 a.m. Eastern. So I would go, and this is, I mean, I don't have much conviction behind this, but I'd go New Mexico at 17-3, and who, by the way, just scored 34 points on Saturday.
34 points. I can't have them number one.
And then I'd go Vegas, San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, and I'd have Boise State ahead of Wyoming because Wyoming doesn't have Martinez, and Boise State has beaten Wyoming. So to recap, New Mexico, Vegas, San Diego State, Colorado State, who I think is underrated by the masses overall, and then Boise State. What's your order?
All right, I go UNLV. Their talent is just.
I know. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. I know.
At some point.
It should. Yeah.
San Diego State. They beat New Mexico by like 25 or so. I held them to 34 points. I can't get Mexico ahead of them.
I know.
Even if you look at overall resume, they probably have a better resume, but can't do it. And then I put New Mexico, Colorado State, who I think, you know, if you made a right argument, they could be number one in the league. And then, you know, I guess I would go, I don't know. I mean, dude, I could put Air Force there right now.
I know. I was, you know, I debated putting them
in. They're putting up points, man.
They are, and it just speaks to the league in general. I mean, I'm loving what the Mountain West is, and we're going to have a situation where the Mountain West is going to have more teams, twice as many teams as the SEC when it comes to tournament talk. It's just ridiculous.
So you think Mountain West could get six?
I think they will get six.
Really?
I went on radio like a week ago, and I said they will get six. I think it will shake out that they're going to get six because – and I haven't
– I think like – the six right now would be New Mexico, San Diego State, Colorado State, UNLV, and then probably Boise State and Wyoming. But I don't see both Boise State and Wyoming, you know, finishing strong enough. I don't see Air Force building enough of a resume down the stretch. I would say five.
Five is the safer bet. I'm just expecting Boise State's got the random win over Creighton, I think Creighton's going to end up with a three. I think there's just going to – and then I think Wyoming, I expect them –
yeah, Boise State beat Creighton on the road. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a really good random win, right? And so I expect both of them to get enough in conference. There's so much protein there that I think that they're going to end up with six. But
you know, they lost by 16 to Nevada yesterday.
I know that's a really damn
weird conference, but I love it. It's easily my favorite conference. I don't think it's close.
Oh yeah, totally. I would say that's one, and then Big Ten's probably two, just in terms of watchability and favorites. Big Ten's obviously the best league, but I enjoy that very much. All right, we'll go to a few tweets here. We had some people tweet at us. We can recap what some people said. Let's go. With I'm not answering a Walter's question, but I appreciate it. He's not listen, SDSU.
Oh, is that the NIT question?
Yeah.
That's a weird question.
I know. Hey, appreciate all of them.
Good for you, Cody.
Okay, so we get Louisville Fan 11 says, who needs to take the final shot at the end of Louisville games? I go live and die with Russ Smith, but there are, and this has been Louisville's issue to begin with, by the way. I remember going on a few radio stations at the start of the season, Borzello, and basically saying, I've always thought the notion that you need
go-to guy, right?
Yeah, I always found that overrated, okay?
Yeah.
But what you do need is, I don't know how to say this. You need confidence in the right guy in the right situation. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't always have to be the one guy that has to take the shot, but you can't have it both. You can't have a lack of a go-to guy and just complete anybody on the floor can take the shot, because then that's how you lose a lot of close games. So I'd go Russ Smith.
I would almost rather them be on defense with 20 seconds left.
And that's also an interestingly enough bad sign, and yet good sign in the same way.
Just because, I mean, there's, like, to me, they almost have a better chance of either forcing a turnover or getting a block or a rebound and a quick outlet pass than they do of getting into a half-court game and either giving it to Siva or Russ Smith and say, get a basket.
Yeah, I hit you. I get you. We had, let's see what else we've got. What's it take to straighten out UNC? We've talked about UNC a lot on the podcast. Good Air Force getting a large bid. We just discussed that. Okay, let's circle back to Henderson here. Jay Holmes 02 asked, has there been a player in recent history as openly cocky as Marshall Henderson? The mind immediately flashes to, of course, who was it? Who am I thinking?
Jimmer?
No, Jimmer wasn't cocky.
No, but I don't know. Who's your mind flashing to? You got a weird mind.
Who do you think is the most recent cocky player in college basketball?
Diebendorf?
You know what? That's the answer, but I was thinking Redick. But Diebendorf is the answer.
I think he's more Diebendorf.
Eric Diebendorf, Syracuse, with the chin strap beard.
Yeah, like Redick wouldn't have jumped on the press table at MSG.
Yeah.
But Henderson would have jumped over it, gone high-fiving the crowd.
Okay, so whose demeanor do you like more, Diebendorf or Henderson?
Well, I didn't like Diebendorf at all. I don't know. Like, something about him just bothered me, but I love Henderson.
That's interesting because they're very similar,
right?
But they are different. They are different. I would think Diebendorf is the answer. I mean, there could have been a guy at a small league school we never saw on TV that was just the worst, but he wasn't good enough for us to notice, so he doesn't really count. Not that Diebendorf was all world or anything, but, you know, he was on TV plenty. And yes, the six overtime stand on the press, too. Oh, that's enough.
Like, how many people can you picture doing that?
That is...
I guess it's like Russ Smith doing that.
Yeah, but Russ Smith would do it with like a goofy grin. Oh, Diebendorf was atop the Titanic, king of the world, when he did that, and the shot didn't even count. All right, how about this? Jayhawk Talk asks, last five games have been lowest average points over a five-game stretch since Self arrived, but they are 5-0. That's an interesting – I mean, only Kansas fans would realize that. So Jayhawk scoring is down. Should we be a little concerned with that? Because obviously Kansas is involved in number one talk as we speak.
I don't think so. I mean, they have guys that can score. I mean, they have Ben McLemore who can get a shot, you know, pretty much whenever he wants. Withy is a legit low post scorer. And they have a ton of guys that are confident enough to hit last second shots. I mean, look at Relaford, Elijah Johnson. You know, those guys will take big shots and make them. So when you compare them to a team like Louisville, they're way more dangerous offensively. To me, they're a good offensive team with a lot of weapons. And when it comes down to the tournament, I think you could put them up against any number one candidate. And, you know, their offense is good enough to, I guess, match pretty much any team. I know Indiana will put up more points, but, you know, I like Kansas's offensive makeup.
I love this team. I think they are the best team in the country right now. And if they continue on this pace, their defense is fantastic as well. Near levels of Louisville's, I can totally see myself getting stubborn and tunnel vision and picking them to win it all. In which case, Self would be in back-to-back title games and what, you know, 3 and 5 years.
If you had to pick a champion right now, Kansas?
It would be Kansas. If I had to pick one right now, if we bracketed the field, I would go Kansas. Who would you go with?
If you had asked me on like Thursday, I would have said Louisville, just because they're the one top team that I can't see being upset in the first round or first two rounds, just because their defense is so good. And I don't think they'll allow a team to come in and make like 9 threes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going by like least risk of getting knocked out early, I would say Louisville, but you know, for a champion, you might be right with Kansas, just because they have a great defense and they can score, you know, when it matters.
All right, I'd go Kansas 1. I would have said Louisville 2 prior to Saturday, but I'm sorry, a 3-game sample size is going to be enough to sway me. And
so
then
you were probably the guy that was jumped off a Florida bandwagon.
Well, I'm inconsistent with Florida, and I am going to get to them in a second. I promise.
I was talking about their national championship run, their second national championship run.
Oh no!
They
oh yeah,
three in a row in like February.
You know what? So that was prior to my blogging career. So I didn't ever like you know the only things I was saying were to my social group or whatever. But
that was riveting.
Oh, such great conversations back in the day, man. You should have been there, but you were like a sophomore in high school. I would say I think I was still pretty high on Florida, and I did pick them to win the title. I had a ridiculous stretch where I picked the national title winner like 8 out of 9 years, and it ended with that final 07 Florida team because I had Memphis the next year. And since then,
I'm always an idiot with national championship teams. I always – You know, I pick my champion in like mid-February, and I just never get off the bandwagon.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of getting there with Kansas. But here, back on track. So Kansas would be my one, and then Michigan would be my second. And so you're going with Kansas and who?
Honestly, right. I mean, I've liked Florida since November. I know people have leaped off the bandwagon or leapt off the bandwagon. I don't know what it would be. But I love them. I think their defense is absolutely awesome. And, you know, there's a chance Kenny Boynton shoots them out of a game within the first 5 minutes. But, you know, they have a lot of weapons. They have Boynton. They have Wilbekin can get points. Eric Murphy's a matchup nightmare. Rosario, Patrick Young. They just have so many scores to me that they're similar to Kansas in that way, except Kansas has a better, you know, go-to scorer in McLemore. But they have a balanced offense, and they play really good defense. And they have a coach that's won games before.
Yeah, Florida, by the way, is number one in KenPom overall, number one in adjusted defense. Louisville's two, Kansas is three. No shock there. I do like Kansas more than Florida ultimately because I love McLemore, and Florida doesn't have anything close to McLemore, in my opinion. Like, not even close. You know, they've got some good guys there, and maybe that's – you know, the weird thing is, and I brought up their KenPom profile here as we talk. They've got three guys. You know, KenPom
the player of the year, right?
Yeah. So KenPom has this formula that's completely removed from any sort of commentary. It's just strictly numbers based, as you would guess, and it lists the 10 players in a certain order depending on how he weights certain categories. And Boynton is 7, Young is 4, and Eric Murphy is 8. That's three players in the top 10 most statistically impactful categories according to KenPom. That's ridiculous.
I've been trying to figure out where that comes from, though. If you look at Patrick Young's statistical profile on KenPom, even, like, it's not that great.
I know. I'm going to get Pomeroy on the podcast here in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to have him break down as much as he can or is willing to when it comes to that, because I don't know how much he protects KPOY.
Yeah, I was looking for
the
formula, but I don't think he has it.
Yeah. Here's a recruiting question for you. Online Railbird wants to know, how much does a ranking, TV exposure, recent versus historical success, how much does that matter to recruits? And maybe it's a good time to bring it up because wasn't Randall at the NC State game? They painted a big mural on their like wall of expression at NC State, yet he's not really – I mean, they're not really in on him, right? They're not. That's a remote chance that the NC State gets him?
Yeah, I mean, they think they have a shot, but, you know, Kansas and Texas are probably the top two right now. Kentucky's in there. Florida's in there, but – you know, I don't think NC State will end up with him. But to the question, you know, most of the guys just want to, you know, get enough exposure to be watched by NBA teams. I don't, you know, if a team was good in 1950, I don't think they care about that. I mean, certain kids do, but a lot of them just want a place where they can go, you know, maybe, you know, have a chance to win a national championship and also get exposure for the NBA. That's why Kentucky gets all these kids, because they always have a chance to win the championship, except this year. And they get on TV a ton. To me, it's just those two things. Have a chance to win a championship and get exposure for the NBA.
Okay, here's my question for you, because this is one I wonder about. Right now in this climate, I guess, equal interest from – I'm trying to think of two schools that would make – okay, how about this? Equal interest from Butler and Villanova. Your average four-star recruit is choosing which school, Villanova?
Like today?
Yeah, today. Given how Stevens runs his system, you know, Villanova's a little down, but it obviously is. You know, it's a program with a lot of pride. To me, I want to say that, you know, if you do that, 4 out of 5 times a recruit's going to pick Villanova. But maybe I'm wrong.
I do think it would be Villanova. Well, because they'd be like, oh, you know, get to play in the Big East. You get to play against all these
good teams.
Which
it won't be. They're going to be the Catholic Seven eventually.
I know. But that's, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of throws a wrench into it.
Right.
But I don't know if a kid really wants to go play in, I guess, Butler's system. If he's an elite, like, athlete, you know, I don't know if Butler's system is the best for it. I know they're going to have a chance to win. They're now in the A-10. So I think it's closer than it would have been 2 years ago, without a doubt.
Yeah, and that's what, yeah.
But I think that Villanova would probably win out. I mean, if you look at elite kids' lists, you're going to see Villanova on there a lot more often than Butler.
Yeah, and I think that's why, actually, Butler ends up thriving is because – and I would guess that Stevens and his staff are so, listen, this is how we play. We're not going to bend that way. And so they recruit the guys with that kind of mindset. And so in a positive way, it festers upon itself. And that's how they kind of build that winning culture, which is so hard to do for so many schools. Festers, yeah. I think it's so hard to do for so many programs at that level, which makes what Stevens and the Bulldogs have done really special. A couple more quick ones here. Somebody, Jordan Grote, wanted to know about Minnesota. Under the radar, sliding right now for the Golden Gophers, who, by the way, are still a top 10 team in KenPom, despite the fact that they're 15-5 and have lost four in a row, are a 3-4 Big Ten team. I remember watching this team play against Michigan State, a game they won on New Year's Eve, loving them. At that time, they were like, what, 14-1, 13-1? But yeah. Now it's kind of fallen apart, despite the fact they remain an awesome offensive rebounding team and a really good offensive team. General buy or sell Minnesota here now that Tubby has shaved the mustache, by the way.
I'm selling, just because if you look at their four-game losing streak. I mean, if you can pinpoint like one thing that's gone wrong, it's okay because there's still 2 months to fix it. But their first two games of their losing streak against Indiana and Michigan, they gave up a ton of points. 88 and 83. Their defense was awful. The last two games, they've scored 48 and 44 points. So to me, there's problems defensively and there's problems offensively. And, you know, they're not so loaded with talent they can just overcome their issues. They're scoring in a half-court situation. They're not getting the kind of opportunities they used to get in transition. Now, they're not a running team, but they would get out and get easy baskets in transition. Not getting that anymore. And, you know, their defense, they're giving up a lot of offensive rebounds. They're not guarding the perimeter very well. So to me, they have too many issues on both sides of the ball to be a buy right now.
And I know a lot of people don't tend to talk about Minnesota because they're just such a random team, I guess. But I do want to shed light on the fact that they have some fraudulent's not the right word, but their schedule is not, and their results, their resume is not that strong. Okay, they've got win.
Are they nearing the bubble?
I think they are. Okay, because here we go.
Like, no, you don't realize how bad the bubble is.
Here we go. Okay, here best wins. You ready for this? And I know you know, but for listeners, you ready? home against Richmond. No good. Neutral against Memphis, really. I mean, Memphis is a bubble team in general. They can't afford to lose two CUSA games. Beat Stanford, bubble at best. Florida State on the road is okay, but FSU is a mess. And then they beat Illinois, who is also completely – like, Illinois is practically
at the time,
off the bubble.
Good win, 17 points on the road, but now
it seemed
like,
it
meh.
Exactly.
Like
so, and then Minnesota's losses. Yeah, I guess you know they have three
they also
good
beat
losses.
Michigan State, you forgot that.
They did beat Michigan State, which we mentioned. Sorry, I jumped over. That's a big one. But that, you know, lost to Duke, lost to Indiana, lost to Michigan, lost to Wisconsin, and lost 55-48 to Northwestern. I would say it's fair, without having all the math and the charting of 68 teams in front of me, I would say it's fair to put Minnesota on the bubble, the good side of the bubble, but they have home games.
Yeah. To me, they still have road games at Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State. They still have to host Indiana, host Wisconsin. So, there's still a lot of chances. They could finish, 9-9 in the Big Ten?
Oh, yeah, and they'll be fine if they
and
do that.
And their best non-league win is Memphis, North Dakota State?
Memphis
they don't have
is,
the
yeah.
key wins that's going to overcome if they slip to, 8-10 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they have enough right now, but they get Nebraska and Iowa at home over the next week. Got to win both of those. If they lose one of those, then we're really in a grinder with the Gophers. Okay. All that said, Monday, Pittsburgh at Louisville, Kansas at West Virginia. Those are the big Monday games. And then Tuesday we get Wisconsin at Ohio State, NC State at Virginia. Keep an eye. Could be a little sneaky. Cavaliers, maybe a little better than people realize. What else is going on Tuesday here? Kentucky at Ole Miss. So those are some of the big ones. And then Vegas hosts Nevada, which should be kind of a blowout. But anything amongst
– Don't doubt Mountain West games. No blowouts.
I'm just saying. What's sticking out to here as we get ready to close up shop on the pod?
There's not a ton of great games in, I guess, next couple of days. I am intrigued by Pitt at Louisville tomorrow. I think that's kind of – I mean, not that Louisville needs to win a game, but I think, you know, Pittsburgh has to show they can compete with the elite teams because there's still people that question them. And then Louisville just needs to bounce back. They can't lose four in a row and hope to get a one seed.
Then it will be done. Yeah, that will
lose their fourth in a row.
Yeah.
To me, that's the best game of the next few days. The ones you read off, that nothing really jumped out at me. Wisconsin, Ohio State. Still intrigued by both teams. I'm not sure I'm sold on either team yet. I'm not sure I will be. But, you know, the winner of that would have a nice little edge. Wednesday is just a bunch of, you know, ranked teams that aren't playing other ranked teams.
Yeah. It could be a slow week, but you know how sports go. Sometimes those turn into some absolutely nutty games, and between bats flying in arenas and God knows what else happening in college basketball this year, anything is possible. Hey, listen, man,
thanks for doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, I bring what I can to this podcast. And speaking of that, I was basically cornered into playing guitar last week.
That was big time, man. You were awesome.
Well, thanks.
Dude, that was good, man. Like, seriously, that was really good.
You
ad-libbed to mention Goodman and Parrish in there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of freestyle. But I bring it up because I need to know, you know, after you go to Indy and do the mock selection process, I mean, do you have any talents that we should put you on the spot for this podcast?
Me?
Do you beatbox? Do you freestyle? Do I need to just ask you to you know, straight up sing out one of your favorite Kanye songs, Lost in the World? What's up there? You know, I can do this for you. If you want the stage, it's all yours.
I mean, I don't really have any musical talents. I memorize a lot of lyrics, but that's not really a talent. I don't really know if I could, like, bring anything to the table. Like, even if I did magic tricks, that couldn't happen on here.
Yeah, you do. You do some magic.
I do not do magic tricks. I'm saying, like, if I did that, you couldn't see it.
Sure,
right, man. Video.
There's no shame in being intrigued by the world of magic, man.
I'm intrigued by it, but I can't do any of it.
Okay.
I did, like, I probably gave a run at it when I was like 5, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna play this.
What was your nerdiest or dorkiest hobby as a kid that you got either really tried to get into or straight up did get into for a year, two or three before, you know, putting it back in the closet?
I've always been pretty cool.
The first sign of any cool person is certainly that phrase.
I'm trying to think of my nerdiest interest. I don't know.
Great.
You told me about this like yesterday. I would have researched it. I would have asked my mom what I was like as a youngin'.
Man, this is just great podcasting, man. I'm loving what you're bringing here. Did you ever
get air is perfect.
I'm watching X Games right now here, and I love this stuff.
Get it off.
There's no hoops on, man. So I'm watching a little
I'm looking at real estate.
Okay, that's good, man. But I'm looking at the half pipe, man. Did you ever give a ski?
I rode a bike like once. I skied once.
Oh.
Like, I didn't do any of that. Like, I like beaches, man. I like just going to the beach and just chilling. I'm not climbing mountains.
You're surfing? Are you trying to surf there?
I tried to surf once, and it was a disaster. I pretty much just lounge in the sand, get my bronze going, and then just, like, play games. Like, what's it? Can Jam, fun beach game. Dive in the water to cool off and just chill, man. And it's, like, a relaxing. I mean, I go, like, 4 or 5 times a week starting in April, so I run out of things to do.
All right, man. This was a great wrap-up here. You, again, brought so much to the podcast. The listeners thank you. I thank you for all you do. And I think you have successfully taking the reins on all GIF breakdowns going forward.
I'm telling you, like you mentioned, like BuzzFeed's going to come at me as their like GIF.
I know we're going to lose you. We're going to lose you to BuzzFeed. It's happening, man. But
that's what I was always trying to parlay the CBS gig into is a BuzzFeed GIF and analyst job.
Well, the portal has been opened, and now it's only a matter of time. Once again, follow Jeff Borzello on Twitter at Jeff Borzello. That is Jeff with a J and Borzello with two L's. Thanks a lot, dude. We'll get you back on.
Get hung up on things.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out here, man. You can't shut up for 5 seconds while I try and give you some good pub here. Jeez,
I'm wired up, man.
As you would say,
new celebrity status.
As you would say, okay, guy. All right, that's it. We're gonna wrap it up here. Wednesday podcast with Goodman and Parrish. You can look forward to that. Plenty to talk about then. Enjoy the rest of your week, and feel free to subscribe in iTunes, and we now are on Stitcher. A few people have said, get on Stitcher. We are, so if you have that app to listen to podcasts on your phone, you can get us there. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you Wednesday.